Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Jennifer Ard, Intel Capital Managing Director and Head of Investment Operations. In her role, Jen is responsible for managing Intel Capital's investment-related operations. Additionally, she is primarily focused on investing in silicon-related companies and has been involved in multiple deals, including Intel's $3.2 billion investment in ASML. Welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
First, can you tell us what originally brought you to Intel? I noticed you came to Intel right from university.
Yes, I did. It was actually a great fit. I was finishing up grad school and wanted to get back to the Pacific Northwest where I'd grown up. Also, I grew up in a very tech-related family. So, you know, when the offer came from Intel, it was kind of a no-brainer. So I landed in Intel and the rotation program through finance and ended up rotating into Intel Capital. And as you mentioned, my very first deal in Intel Capital was working on our investment in ASML, which I think most people are aware of, the EUV lithography supplier out of the Netherlands. And, you know, after doing a $3.2 billion deal, it's hard to want to go back to corporate finance. So that's really why I've stayed in Intel Capital and have really enjoyed my time there.
Oh, that's a great story. I do remember the ASML investment. That was epic. And I think your return on investment is probably unmatched, right?
Yeah, I can't disclose exact numbers, but we did pretty well on that investment.
Yeah. So can you tell me about Intel Capital and its investment strategy around semiconductors?
Yeah, happy to. So Intel Capital is the venture arm of Intel. We have been investing for over 30 years. We are the original corporate venture capital firm. We really act as a force multiplier in helping startup companies in Intel relevant areas across four domains. And those are really including cloud, devices, frontier, and lastly, silicon, which is really what we're going to talk to about today. Unlike a lot of corporate venture capital firms, we lead deals. We've led over 75% of the deals that we've done over the last several years. And we take board seats. We're very active investors. We have a fantastic portfolio development team, as well as all the resources of Intel behind those companies to help them, which we really think sets us apart as an investor. Specifically, I invest in the silicon space, and silicon has really, you know, been a core area of our investment thesis over the last several years, as you can imagine, being tied to Intel. We invest in everything across tools for the fab, materials, AI software that goes into the fabs, EDA software. More recently, we've done some additive manufacturing deals. And then even more recently, which we'll talk about a little later, I believe, is sustainability and environmental, and how do we really help bring tools to the fab to become more environmentally friendly. But that, you know, we have a worldwide investment team, and we're excited, and we love working with startup companies.
Yeah, I've worked with Intel Capital before. I do M&A during the day, and I've had really good experiences. In your experience, working closely with semiconductor companies and their executives, what do you look for in regards to traits like company momentum or other metrics?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think every venture firm will tell you something very similar. We look for three things. It really comes down to market, management, and moat. And I'll tackle each of these separately. So the first is the management team. You know, we're not looking for somebody who is super, super techie and, you know, knows everything, but we're looking for a management team that has passion about what we're doing. And the reason I say that is there is no direct path to success in a startup world. We need founders who are willing and passionate enough to hang in through the really tough times when they're out talking to customers and maybe aren't seeing product market fit and have to go pivot what they're doing. Also, just, you know, a comprehensive management team who works really well together, who has fun on a day-to-day basis, who really spends a vast majority of their time out talking to customers. Those are just a few of the areas. Obviously, you know, past experience. We love our repeat founders. We love investing in entrepreneurs who have done this before and, you know, are coming back for a second round. But so the first is a great management team, one that we feel like we can work with and we enjoy working with and they enjoy working with each other. The second is a moat. So, you know, what really makes the technology unique? Is there some sustainable advantage? A lot of times in the silicon space, what the moat is that we see is really that, you know, they have critical experience, they have a specific knowledge of how things work within the semiconductor organization, and that they have great partners and contacts and network into the space. And lastly is market. Just are they tackling a large enough market size? You know, semiconductor is a big market, but oftentimes we're looking for companies that can expand beyond semiconductors so that there's a bit of a hedge if, you know, we're in a downturn in semi and they can be tackling pharmaceuticals or something else similar to really be able to get kind of venture size returns for the investors around the table.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I've been in this industry for 40 years and I do mostly startup companies. And well, I tell you, management, marketing, and mode is a good are good labels for what's important.
It is not for the faint in heart. There is nobody who does startup companies who, you know, does it just half-heartedly. You've got to be in all the way to be able to make it work.
Yeah, but I think the key word is passion. I mean, you really have to have a passion for this because it is not an easy challenge.
Yep, completely agree.
So over the past few decades, what would you describe as the industry shift? You know, what trends are emerging in the semiconductor space?
You know, it's been interesting. So I've been investing in the silicon space for about 13 years. And, you know, even 4 or 5 years ago, we would get into deals that are doing something really unique to semiconductor manufacturing. We couldn't get a syndicate together. We couldn't get other investors who were interested in the space. It was all about enterprise software. And that has really shifted. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I've started getting phone calls from top-tier investors who are saying, hey, we have a semiconductor thesis that we would like to, you know, start investing in the space, and really we'd like to start looking at hardware-related investments. So we're seeing more and more capital come to the table, which is a really exciting thing, right? It's great for the companies to be able to have multiple partners at the table, multiple options for financing, which is really exciting. And I think that's been spurred by a few things. The first is AI, obviously, with the, you know, bringing AI to the forefront of technology. We're starting to see needs in order to make AI successful, and compute is just going to be astronomical in being able to power that AI, especially in the hardware space, in the data center space. So we're starting to see more and more excitement around that. Second of all, you know, with investors in the United States, they're starting to see more and more fabs being built onshore here in the United States, and they're starting to see opportunity where you know as well as I do, every time you build a fab, you have to build like the whole ecosystem around it, things that are close on, you know, on premises that can really help the fabs immediately. And, you know, there's a lot of ecosystem and a lot of money to be had from those of us who are starting to really ramp up production in the United States. And then I think just third, I think we're starting to see a lot more excitement. Obviously, the CHIPS Act, we're not sure how startups or when startups may be eligible to get some of that funding, but we're starting to see just a lot more excitement about potential funding for semiconductor-related technologies. We're just starting to see more universities put in place labs around getting semiconductor kind of technologies out into the market, which is great. Some really, really great professors who are thinking about technologies and then spinning those out. We're just starting to see a lot more opportunities just in that space in general.
Yeah, I think excitement is a key term for us, because this is the most exciting time in semiconductors that I've experienced.
I completely agree with that.
So you mentioned AI. What has been the impact of the AI boom on the semiconductor industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. So AI, you know, really has taken over with a storm recently, and it's a great technology, right? We're starting to see its usage in multiple areas. I think the one area that we're seeing, and maybe I'll talk about a couple areas, but the first one is just the more AI you have, the more compute you need. It's really a symbiotic relationship. And that compute is coming with some pretty stringent requirements and some things that need to get done in order for the compute to be able to handle AI workloads. Some of those are really interesting things, like, again, as I was saying, that we wouldn't have seen things get funded recently, but we're seeing a lot of technologies around interconnects. Obviously, Astera Labs, one of our portfolio companies that just went public, we're starting to see technology around memory. Thermals, who knew people were going to be excited about thermals and just keeping data centers and chips cool, and just how amazing that is. We have an investment in a company called Fabricate Labs, which they're additive manufacturing using an electrochemical process, and they're starting to use AI to specifically design thermals for chips. So you can use an AI generated image to be able to specifically cool chips, which is kind of fascinating. I think the other place that we're seeing AI in semiconductor is just around being able to run fabs and data centers. And more within Intel and within other semiconductors, also within our tool vendors and other kind of the supply chain, we're trying to figure out how do you use AI to actually run a fab. So that could be everything from the chip design to all the way up to, you know, how do you schedule what's happening in the factory? And more we're starting to see technologies and excitement in that space to really like go out and make the fab process even more exciting and, you know, run way more efficiently than we have. And all of that's powered by AI.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting to see AI start out, you know, a few years ago, and, you know, it was more toys, right? There's a lot of AI toys, but now you see AI tools, very functional, very impressive tools. And, you know, the speed of how this is coming is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Just the amount of capital being put to use and for helping bring AI to market is kind of staggering, actually.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the current state of the semiconductor industry in regards to what's working and what isn't?
Yeah. So I think what's working, I think innovation is alive and well. I think we talked about a little bit around just more excitement, more technology coming to market, more competition globally, really pushing the pace, really keeping Moore's Law alive, which is really a great time to be in semiconductor, right? Architectures continue to move forward. So I think all of that is alive and well. A few spaces that Intel Capital specifically is looking at in order to continue that momentum forward is materials. Materials are critical. It used to be that we were updating tools every time a new generation came online. That's not the case anymore. We can really use some of those tools generation to generation, but materials, that's how we're going to really innovate and create really exciting new architectures. So we made an investment in a company called Impact Nano. They're out of Boston. A couple of repeat founders. Again, we love our repeat founders who are doing new material synthesis. And they're really a smaller material supplier that's bringing online capabilities that could be used in some of our deposition and other areas. So materials is one where I think we need to really keep pace, really keep the momentum going in the supply chain there. A second one is around metrology. So, you know, you can't measure what you can't see. And as architectures just get smaller and smaller, we're seeing defects coming on a, you know, a chip, and then that takes the whole fab down and out. So really being able to prevent defects before you have a major excursion in your fab and eliminate issues. And we're seeing a few areas. Again, we have a couple investments in this space. One of them is Uniserz, which is exciting. The technology came out of ETH over in Zurich, Switzerland, and they're able to actually look at materials deposited on a chip and be able to characterize those defects. So then you can go back to your materials supplier and say, hey, look at that defect and we think this is what it's made of and go fix it. So, you know, really being able to see things before they cause issues down the line, I think is really critical. And then the last, that the whole semiconductor industry is really thinking through sustainability and environmental. I think there's a lot of really good initiatives going on, but we need more and we need to work together and we need to do it more quickly in order to keep up with regulation and just with everything that's going on. We really need to be better about how we manufacture in a more sustainable way.
I agree completely. So how do you envision the industry changing? I mean, there's a huge amount of change, reshoring, for example. How do you envision what's going to happen?
Just in the semiconductor industry in general, what's going to happen?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's a lot of it is just really being able to come together as a supply chain and organization. What we're seeing more and more in sustainability specifically, but I feel like it's true in other spaces, that we're getting more and more of our supply chain together and working together to really move things forward. Obviously, there will always be areas where we need to have, you know, a sustainable competitive advantage. Same thing with all of the other, you know, the IDMs and tool vendors. But there's a lot of places like sustainability where we can work together in order to keep things moving and putting together task forces and working together to solve challenging issues. Sustainability specifically is one area where I feel like we've done that. You know, Intel as well as all of the other players are on a lot of different advisory committees to keep moving forward with some key areas around materials and environmental. The other thing we've done is that, you know, Intel Capital, as well as several other players in the space like Applied Ventures, Micron Ventures, Lam Capital, and several others, we're coming together and we've created a Startups for Sustainable Semiconductors, where we're bringing together startups and, you know, having them work directly with our parent companies to explore ideas that they have. I think one area we see in sustainability that's really challenging is that those companies, they're not able to go put their solution immediately into a fab, right? They don't know what that takes in order to get a technology into somebody like an Intel or a TSMC or a Samsung. And, you know, this program really gets them mentoring. It gets them time with our companies to be able to talk about, hey, if I were to scale this technology, what would that look like? How would we be able to get it in a fab? What are the requirements? And I think more so than you've ever seen before, I think all of us coming together and working in that space is just, it's critical to keep us moving forward.
Right. You know, you mentioned sustainability, but you know, can we talk about that a little bit more detail? You know, sustainability is a growing concern and a topic of conversation in the semiconductor industry. I think Intel is the leader in sustainable fabs and, you know, semiconductor manufacturing processes. So what challenges are you seeing and how are Intel Capital portfolios addressing this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I do agree. I think Intel has taken a great leadership position in sustainability. And we've made some very, very aggressive statements around net zero and, you know, being water neutral and other areas. I think there's a few areas specifically that we are really concentrated on, you know, making sure that we get right. And those are around water. So really being able to make sure that we're not using more water, you know, in our factory than we're taking out of the environment. So being able to return all of the water, and that includes everything from recycling out materials to making sure that we're not, you know, having it evaporate into the environment. Second is materials. This just continues to be a challenge around, you know, how do you put rare earth materials into the fab environment and then be able to recycle them out of the back end. Emissions is another space. And then lastly is energy. And energy is really a challenge, not just from a fab perspective, but a data center perspective. So we, you know, I mentioned the S3 initiative where we're really trying to get startups. This year we had 65 startups apply and we had them come present on the SemiCon West stage during the finals. We specifically have a few companies in our portfolio. One of them is Impact Nano that I mentioned before, that's doing material development And they're doing it in a very sustainable way. They're doing it here in the United States. They are really trying to minimize the impact, which is what we're going to have to ask of all of our suppliers. So that is one area where, you know, we are continuing to look for startups in this space, but not just look for startups for investment, but look for startups really to bring into our fab environment and start getting pilots going and, you know, doing proof of concepts with these companies, which we have to keep being able to open up kind of how we're thinking about getting startups into large companies in order for this to be successful. We have to be a little bit more open into how we think about the supply chain than we have previously.
I agree completely, Jen. And thank you for spending time with us today. And hopefully we can sync back up, you know, maybe next year and see what's new with Intel Capital.
Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate you having me. It's been a great conversation.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.